Our reading this morning is from the first chapter of 2 Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we are with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you would do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a saying you probably have heard, maybe even lived by. Believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. It's actually a quote from a short story written by Edgar Allan Poe. And if you know anything about Poe, you know that, well, to call him a cynic or a skeptic would be describing him lightly. A seriously dark man with seriously dark visions and resulting dark writings. It's interesting how technology has overtaken Poe. I mean, think of Photoshop or the video editing software we have today. You really can't believe even what you see anymore. It's all been doctored. It seems like false news rules our day. So we need to update Poe a little bit. It's like, believe none of what you see and none of what you hear. Believe only, you know, be certain of only that which you have personally witnessed or experienced or participated in. That seems to be the message. Well, in our reading today, we find out that the Apostle Peter was just such a person. He was an eyewitness to many things. He was right there while it was happening. He participated in it. And now Peter could have written about many different things. He could have written about the things that Jesus taught as the disciples went along, the various miracles that he performed, the healings, raising people from the dead, his own resurrection. You know, Peter could have talked about many things to point out that he himself was an eyewitness, but he focuses on the transfiguration. Being on that holy mountain. Being there where not only he sees and hears and touches the Lord Jesus Christ, but hears the voice of God the Father. He and two other witnesses there on the holy mountain. And he's describing what he saw with his own eyes, what he heard with his own ears. But in this text, he's also emphasizing another way in which he was a witness, another way in which he participated in God's glory. When he wrote, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." See, this too was something Peter experienced. He was carried along by the Holy Spirit to write this epistle. He was an instrument that God used to bring light into a world of darkness. For Peter, being a witness was also being a participant. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could do that? If we could be participants. You know, we could have been there when all this stuff happened. When we could have not just seen it and heard it, but be part of it. Well, then we know we could be certain that it all really happened. that all really happened just the way we've been told. And we can dismiss all the criticisms of our darkened world. I mean, you don't know these criticisms. You've heard these criticisms. You know, oh, the Bible is just a book that was written by men. You know, it's just a bunch of stories, myths. And after all, the Bible you have today was just one translation after another translation after another translation. You can't rely on that because you weren't there. You weren't there, so you can't know. Because the world operates with this principle: believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. But in response to that worldly principle, God's word says to us today that we would do well to pay attention to the light, not the darkness. Darkness is deception. Now you know the darkness. You're a witness of the darkness. You're a participant in the darkness. You didn't have a choice. You were born into that darkness. You've lived in that darkness. You've even participated in the darkness. But even though you were born into that darkness, you were reborn in the waters of baptism, reborn into the light of Jesus. His light entered you as you were washed in those holy waters. And now his light guides you in the deceptive darkness of this world as a lamp to your feet to keep you from stumbling, to show you the paths of righteousness. Now the darkness wants to undermine your witness by convincing you that you don't know, that you can't know, that you really aren't a witness. See, that's the problem in the world. You are light in a world of darkness. And not just light for yourself, but light for others. And that's what the world is struggling against. The darkness loves the darkness. It doesn't want light coming into the darkness. It wants the darkness to remain darkness. The darkness does not want you to be a light. And it wants to undermine your witness by convincing you that you really can't speak of things that you don't know firsthand. But you're reminded today, not only that you are light in a world of darkness, but you have the prophetic word more fully confirmed. You're reminded today that you are a witness, that you are indeed a participant in Christ, because you have participated in his death and in his resurrection. When you were buried with him in baptism and raised up to a new life, you were there. You experienced it. The world cannot take that away from you. And you participate in Christ's body and blood each time you come to his table. As 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Well, yes. Yes, it is. And each time we come, we participate in the blood of Jesus and the body of Jesus, proclaiming his death because we know it to be true. We're certain of it to be true. And through his death, we have been washed clean of our sins. We have been given eternal life. We know the light. We've been rescued from the darkness of the world that seeks to entrap us and hold us. Yes, you participate in the life of Christ through the forgiveness of your sins spoken in his word of absolution. So you have not followed cleverly devised myths. The cleverly devised myths of the world of darkness, but you have followed the word of truth, the word of truth that was confirmed on the cross of Calvary. See, here is where it's fully confirmed. All the prophetic word, all the ages of God working through his Holy Spirit for men to write down what would happen has been fulfilled, confirmed here. And you are a witness of this. You've participated in this. It is your life and your light. So unlike our world of darkness, in the light of Christ, we can believe all of what we see and everything that we hear. Amen.